Organizations in the process industries in refining chemicals and petrochemicals face clear and relentless pressure to improve profitability while managing operational risk, maximizing asset integrity, and enabling operational discipline. What's not so clear is how industrial organizations can take advantage of new technologies in an intelligent approach to gain more value from data, assets, workforces, and value chains. ARC believes a fresh approach is required for world-class business performance, and now there's an opportunity to rethink operations management. New operational platforms and systems should be the foundation for a company standard for conduct of operations, enhanced compliance assurance, workforce competency, and asset performance management. Many industrial organizations operate in environments that present a potential risk to workers, the environment, physical assets, and/or to the business itself. Recognizing this, a handful of technology suppliers have developed correct approaches to interoperability and the platforms to provide deeper visibility into operational, production, and asset performance. I'm Peter Reynolds, Senior Analyst, and this is the Digital Transformation Viewpoints Podcast, brought to you by ARC Advisory Group. In each episode, we'll ask the big questions of how the world is adopting emerging technologies and practices for sustainable manufacturing, from better operational processes to blockchain. Today, however, our focus is rethinking operations management. Here with me today is Mark Pyatt, industry principal with Accenture. Mark, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for having Accenture today.
So Mark, so much emphasis today on extracting more value from data to improve operations and operational discipline. So what's wrong? And from your opinion, why haven't more industrial companies been able to gain traction in this area? So after all, it's just data from assets, operator rounds it could be, environmental production data, and other data. What do you think?
Most of the investments over the past 20 years have been made solely in ERP systems, looking at accounting, financial, and procurement type upgrades. And so the emphasis on operations wasn't really there because I think for a number of reasons, ERP systems are centralized. And so in upgrading that, it made it easier for companies to do that. You look at disparate solutions and plants and manufacturing environments, you know, companies have multiple plants. It's harder to go out to sites to ensure that they're going to be compliant with changes in operations. So it actually makes it adds complexity to the overall process, and right. A lot of companies didn't want to pursue that. So that's why they left operations kind of out of the equation discussion. So this created a disparity between systems then that were, you know, used with custom integration. They were maintained connectivity that way, and then as connectivity chasm grew wider, they did workarounds with spreadsheets and right. SneakerNet and other means to email, to transfer information back and forth. So this created this chasm, and it's been carrying on now for almost, you know, over 20 years, really. So most companies have been struggling with, you know, how now to address the chasm that exists between headquarters and operational, you know, offices. This primarily occurred in the oil and gas and chemicals industry. If you look at by contrast, you look at other industries like discrete industries, they've been mandated by government to actually keep up with integration because of the safety and compliance requirements they have. So it's, in a way, the government didn't do the oil and gas and chemical industries any favors by not having more mandates on them, but I guess the cost and problems created by that could have been exceedingly high for enterprises to support. So in a way, it's been kind of a blessing in disguise, but now it's coming to roost because the upgrades in technology and the movement to the cloud create more complexity and more challenges for these companies to keep up with the other industries. So it's a real dynamic among industries, and some have been thought leaders and some have been trailers. And so the industries I work with are traditionally trailing industries. And so those are the kind of the issues and why it's resulted in where they're at today.
It's interesting you describe this as a chasm, and you know, I haven't heard the term sneaker net in a while, but I think that really describes a lot of the current state. There's still a lot of manual effort, a lot of separate systems that are in place, and at the end of the day, you know, I think whether it's operations or productions or maintenance, I think the data is in many, many different places, and it's hard to get value from that. So why is industry really dragging their feet, and why is it so difficult for asset owners to gain traction on this area? Are there things that they can do to help them?
Well, the main reasons why they're where they're at today is just because of the chasm and the disparity of investment. Their data sources have grown. They're significant in size and complexity. There's multiple sources, and because they've not had an integrated approach for aggregating their data and actually using it to support business processes or operational processes, this has created issues too. And companies have looked at it traditionally by department, and so one department would do one thing, another department would do another thing, and because they had their own budgets to do it with, they weren't really required to go outside the lines of communication. And then if you look at overall process flow, that's what, basically created bottlenecks in process flow. And so it's now that the technology has caught up to the process, we have the ability to streamline and automate processes and connect these data sources and the business processes they want to be running together so that they're more, obviously more efficient, more effective. And so this chasm that's been created, then now they're trying, they can't figure out where to start. There's so many different places. And so what we traditionally do at Accenture in working with our customers is look at the priorities of their business, look at the critical assets they're wanting to operate, look at the data sources that are feeding those assets and the equipment, and try to align those first as a starting point to create momentum, and then adjust that, keep the momentum going by putting it into a phased approach that they can actually see success in, which allows them to maintain their investment and their visibility of success with the senior management team, so they can continue to seek, have that approval, have the sponsorship, and creating success and change in the organization. So in this way, companies are moving in a phased manner with small projects towards an end result of automation, sometimes moving to the cloud, sometimes hybrid environment, but trying to bring those pieces together to automate systems and processes and data, the interchange of those and the orchestration of those so that business processes become more efficient over time.
Okay. So, and I think you make a lot of good points, and it just seems to me that still a lot of asset owners would still perhaps view that a lot of departments do operate in isolation, and perhaps they would describe them as being collaborative, and the information sharing can still take place. But you mentioned looking at process flows a little bit differently to help, break down this chasm that might exist. So can you tell me about any compelling use cases or other examples of how companies are finding value in this idea?
Sure. The biggest problem that exists today is data. Data cleansing and data quality is poor. So when we go in and work with customers, we use an assessment process to help them determine and identify, ways to address the data problem. And that may mean moving it to an environment. That may mean cleaning it up and putting it back in the same environment, or moving it to a combined consolidated environment in like a HANA database if they want to go with SAP. Some use cases for this really, they're as simple as simple maintenance, simple process where you look at repair and maintenance and how it's scheduled, how the work is assigned, how the information is delivered, the type of work that needs to get done, how it's integrated with warehouse, how the materials and parts are all, are compliant with the current processes and equipment that are needed. Whether it's standard operating procedures and process safety steps, work permitting and lockout tagout type activities that need to take place so that the work can be done. Who's going to do the work? Are they certified? Do they have the right skill sets? Do they have the right experience? And then what happens during the work process, the work execution, when that work is completed, how is it captured and recorded, and then how is it updated back to schedulers and planners? And that overall whole life cycle approach is what we're working with customers to fix, basically, in different pockets. The reason that that becomes kind of a good example use case is that the whole scenario I just talked about touches many different systems in the enterprise, in operations. So the need for integration is significant. The need to have unique identifiers that can identify the equipment, the process flow, and the for the work that needs to get done, all those things tie together. And so many times our customers in the past, the way they executed was they worked with one and went within one system, opened up the financial, budgeting for it, allocated the project in a different system, requested the materials from a different system, identified the worker and the work orders in a different system, and they're going from one system to the other. So as high as 28 applications per person, if you can imagine. Right. And so that's the complexity that exists today. And what we're trying to do is get rid of that complexity and go down to help the companies move from 28 to 14 to 10 to 6, maybe systems that really enable the overall process to work together. And so, and that means putting decision support, at the fingertips of the worker and giving them more insight about the work they're being asked to do, giving the schedules and planners more visibility to the work that's been completed so they can actually reduce the backlog, and then turning that around and saying, okay, from a priority and a critical asset management standpoint, how's that working to support and enhance our business? Is this really driving OEE performance improvement? Is that really really going to make a difference for retaining our workers who are leaving us because we have retention rate problems in different geographic regions? Mm-hmm. How's this advancing my career? How's this impacted by my skills and training? Do I see advancements? Things like that are all impacting the workers today. And for the most part, a lot of the operations companies who have operations personnel working for them, they're trying to find new ways to retain those people, to give them a career path, and to help keep the millennials working for them, because a lot of the companies today who don't have automation are losing the new workers because they get frustrated and they run out of patience on the companies to do the upgrades. And so in this way, this investment's energizing and creating a new workforce, which is next generation, with a next generation platform in the cloud, which really improves agility and flexibility in their overall business model. The companies that are not pursuing this are finding that their success is not as great, and they're having a harder time retaining employees. And so that shift in mentality is taking place in the market today, and we're seeing that across the board in multiple industries.
Mm. So it seems to me that the workforce is really going to be at the center of this. And, much of what you just talked about, Mark, it makes complete sense, and reducing the number of systems and optimizing the process flows. But it does seem to me we've got workers that are not used to digital technologies, and they're used to doing things a certain way. And you've got another demographic entering the workforce that they're used to looking for information or doing a whole lot of searching. They grew up, getting information from Google. So it just seems like in order to move forward here, the workforce is a tremendous challenge going forward. How do you see companies overcoming these workforce challenges?
Well, I think they have to use new recruiting methods, and they have to use new retention methods. And that means creating an information base for their workers to actually stay informed. And a lot of the companies in the industries I work in don't have that base. So they're naturally finding it very hard to retain employees. But I think that's going to evolve and change. And I think new service providers are emerging that that are using the cloud to enable these capabilities. But it's really about trying to establish a system that can enable you to have like a worker registry where information on employees and contractors can be put in one pool, where schedules and planners can access it and pull the right people to do the right job, where you can maintain skill set certifications and training and push that to the worker, regardless if they're an employee or not. Managing worker profiles so you can keep up with the people in your network around your company that have provided services to you. Integrating and helping workers understand the service levels expected, using that in contract negotiations and procurement processes to tie that together. These are all different programs that are converging. And again, it's just about trying to improve the work product, but also improve the efficiency of how we schedule, and bring workers together to conduct project work and or like turnarounds. That's a huge deal. And this by having the cloud and using this kind of approach, I think companies will be more successful if they move in this direction, because they'll have access. That, you know, the companies that don't do this are going to find it harder and harder to find the right skilled workers as the baby boomers started retiring and moving out of the workforce. Where are all the workers going to come from? That's the issue. And so the only way I know to address that is by preparing the next on-ramp, putting more intelligence into it, and then enabling it across the enterprise. That's what we're also helping companies look at from a transformation standpoint.
Good. So, Mark, we're coming to the close of this podcast. Do you have any last thoughts for our audience today?
Well, I think the main thing, I didn't really touch on yet is justification. We and other providers can do assessments to build business cases to help justify expenditure, to size up potential impact value, so that if you're thinking or considering about making a change like this in your company, you're having difficulty getting started. That's what a number of the companies like Accenture are really doing these days. And I happen to work for probably one of the companies that does it the most. But it's a struggle, and most operations leaders hesitate to really dive into this. I think holistically, I think we're seeing more people do that today. But that's probably the most important thing, I think, to really get things started, is what is the value impact going to be if you make this change? Should I go greenfield? Should I go brownfield? Should I take my old stuff and integrate it, or should I create a whole new instance and put the new systems out there and go cloud? Those are a lot of the issues our customers and questions our customers are asking today, and then they struggle with that. And so I would say, consider your consultants that you feel like you trust the most. Challenge them to think differently and to help you think differently about what's possible, what we call the art of the possible, but also then put numbers behind it to prove the point. And then bring in, cases of other customers that are doing the same thing in your industry. We have a lot of examples, and not everybody's, there isn't any one company that's done it completely yet. They're all in process. And so there's plenty of examples out there to refer to help you build a business case, so that you can help convince your senior management team that this is something you should be doing too. And so I look forward to hearing from the companies that might be interested in doing this, but I wish you luck in this process, because I think it's going to take 5 to 10 years to go through the wave. And there's a lot of work to be done. So, and there's not a bad place to start. That's the thing you have to realize. Some customers come to me and say, "Where do we start? How do we get started?" It's like it comes back to critical assets and priority of business. And if you choose those, you're really never going to be wrong. And it actually will create momentum around those particular areas that will be visible to senior management team once they see success. There's a lot higher probability that they'll want to move that through the entire rest of the enterprise. So I wish you luck in that, the future of doing this, and hopefully your company can join the others in the cloud in the transformation for operations. Thanks for this opportunity to talk to you today, Peter. I appreciate it very much.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks to Mark Pyatt, industry principal with Accenture. For more information and insights on this topic, or to learn best practices to accelerate digital transformation, please go to the ARC Advisory Group website at www.arcweb.com. Please do subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. And while you're there, please leave us a review. In the meantime, from Peter Reynolds, thank you for listening, and goodbye.